All right, good morning, True Life. Hey, why don't you help me welcome anyone who's here for the very first time, as well as anyone on live stream. Come on, you can do better than that. Awesome. So glad to be back with you guys this morning. Summer drawing to a close, travel slowing down. I got one more Sunday. I'm not going to tell you when, but I got one more that I'll be away, but you're going to be in really good hands, I promise. And really excited about this series and kicking it off today. Brand new series that we're going to share with you today, and just want to ask you before I get into that to consider stopping by in the lobby. On the tables out there, you'll see one of these little handbooks that says pray first on it. And what we're doing is we're beginning this 21 days of prayer today, and I want to ask you to just consider being a part of that with us. And you may want to use this as a resource. This just kind of serves as a little bit of a devotional resource and prayer guide for you. If you don't already have one, you can grab one in the lobby on your way out today. And here's all we're trying to do as we get ready to head into the fall season, which is traditionally one of the most evangelistic times for us as a church. We see many, many people come to Jesus and give their hearts to Jesus. We see it every Sunday here, but we especially see those numbers go up during the fall. And so what we want to do is we want to prepare for kind of that back-to-school season, that back-to-school routine, with prayer. Come on, how many know even our kids? We're not sending them back into the schools just to learn. They're evangelists, they're missionaries, they're going to model Jesus in their classrooms. Come on, everybody. We want to send them back with purpose and meaning. And so just we want to ask you to be a part of that. Help us raise the spiritual temperature during this 21 days of prayer. In fact, just in the last service, I finally made up my mind. And I want to let you know that if you, even before you head to work for the day, during these 21 days of prayer, every day this building will be open at 6 a.m. and you have an opportunity to come and join whoever's here. We'll have worship music playing in the auditorium here. I know 6 a.m. is early, and if I'm just being transparent with you, I'm not that excited about that time. I'm not a morning person. But how many know, just like anything in life, you gotta invest a little to see a little bit of return. And so we put it at that time so that you have a chance to come and pray for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, whatever you want. Before you commute on to work or wherever it is that you have to go. Hopefully that can accommodate some of you. So I would love to see you here tomorrow morning. I think it'll be me opening the building tomorrow morning because I didn't tell any of my team that we were going to do that. So, and if it has to be me every day, that's fine. I will be here. And so we're just going to gather and pray. And come on, we're going to believe God for great things over the next 21 days as we seek His face. All right. And that's actually what we're talking about today is prayer. Come on, how many get excited about prayer? That's exactly why I'm talking about it right there, because you were all like, he wants us to be excited, but I'm not really, and that's okay. So we're going to kick this off today with prayer. I'm going to try to help you with that, okay? My goal today, I think most of the time when pastors talk about prayer, what most of us walk away is feeling guilty because we don't pray enough. And the truth is, you probably already know whether or not prayer is a consistent part of your life. I don't need to make you feel bad about that. My job today is to try to help you understand why it's so important, and hopefully, I just want to heat up something inside of you. I want to stir up a little hunger in you for this thing called prayer. I want to help you understand it a little better, take some of the pressure, some of the anxiety away, take away some of the misconceptions and the ideas that we have about prayer. I want to tell you, prayer in its simplest form is just you having a conversation with God. And you can talk to him like normal. Like when I'm having a bad day, I tell God, like, God, this stinks. This is not cool. I'm not okay with this. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me or somebody's going to die. Anybody ever been there? You know, maybe one of my children. Anybody ever? No, you're all, okay, you're so holy. You're so spiritual. Sorry that I'm not as spiritual as you are. That's really what prayer, and we can just go to God and be ourselves. The Bible says we can go into the throne room of grace, that we can approach him with confidence because of his son, Jesus. How many know when God looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes or your past? When you come to him in prayer, all he sees is the perfection of his son and the sacrifice for you. So you can go to him in confidence. You don't have to have special words when you pray. You don't have to be all spiritual sounding. I don't know if you had this in your family, but I had a couple people in my family that they would be totally normal until it was time to pray. And then when you pray, it was like they somehow time shifted back to like King Arthur or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, unless you spoke like you were the King James Bible, it was not effective prayer. So you'd get ready to pray, and oh, thouest dearest Lord, how great are thine blessings, and we are so honored to be in thine midst. And like words that none of you roll up into work and say, good morning, thine boss. I mean, none of you do that. None of you do that. So you can just talk to God normally, take the pressure off. You know, it doesn't have to be long all the time to be effective. Come on, how many know a long prayer before a meal? That's not cool. That's just torture. Come on, let's be honest. Thanksgiving is not about the prayer. It's about the turkey. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? It's like, don't do that to me. That's why we let my son, my little four-year-old, my son, pray over the meals because he loves food. He's motivated. So he's like, dear Jesus, thank you for the food. Blessed are my amen. We're like, were you speaking in tongues, son? Because none of us know what you just said. And then, but it's time, he's like, he's serious. He's like, can I eat now, mommy? We're like, yes, yes, you can. And I'm saying, good job, son. Good boy, I'm proud. I'm proud of you. So I want to just kind of take some of that anxiety, some of the pressure off prayer. It's like this little boy. I don't know if you heard this story or not before. A little boy getting ready to go to bed, and they had a guest in the house, and so his parents, they get him ready to go to bed and take him to his room, and so they're going through the bedtime routine and say, okay, little Johnny, let's pray. And so little Johnny prays. He just says, dear Jesus, thank you for my family, and I pray for just a good night of rest for us, that we would sleep really well, and thank you for mommy, thank you for daddy, bless them, thank you for my sister, love her. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his prayer, he yells, like at the top of his lungs. He goes, and Jesus, don't forget that I want a new bike for my birthday. Amen. And his parents say, little Johnny, what are you doing? God's not deaf. He says, no, but grandma is. Some of you will get that later. All right. Come on, I want to make prayer okay for you. Prayer, it actually should be something we look forward to, that we enjoy. And come on, when you have a good, healthy relationship, you enjoy hanging out with that person. It's fun to be with that person, and that's what prayer is. We're cultivating our relationship with our Creator, and that ought to be an enjoyable experience. How many would like to walk out of here today with a little bit of hope that you might actually enjoy prayer? Like, I want to stir up a little bit of hunger in you for that. So I want to break this message into three parts. First, I kind of want to make the case for why prayer matters in our lives, which is the title of the message. And I'm actually going to show that to you by helping you understand the process that takes place when we pray. I think if you can see the process, then you're going to get the why. You're going to understand the why. Then I want to talk about how often, when should I do this? And then I want to help you with the how, all right? So three pieces, real practical today. Hopefully this will help you. Let's start in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And before I read it, I just want to kind of give you a preview of what's taking place in this passage. Paul actually kind of pulls back some of the layers on the onion, so to speak, for us here to help us understand what's actually happening when we pray. And how many know that God exists in three persons? Are you familiar with this concept of the Trinity? Come on, those of you who know it, say it with me. It's God the Father, God the, and God the, now here's what's cool about prayer. This is why I'm hoping this will fire you up a little bit. When you engage in prayer, you actually engage in a supernatural process that engages all three persons in that Trinity and you at the same time to affect God's will on planet Earth. Jesus actually said that in our prayer, there's some pretty powerful things that take place. He says, whatever we bind up in heaven will be bound on earth, and whatever we loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. So watch this. Watch what happens in your spirit right now. If I say, Heavenly Father, I just bind up the spirit of fear right now on every person that's sitting in this room. Anything that would keep them from being who God has called them to be. Every ounce of fear that would come up within them and say, you can't, you're not good enough. I bind it in Jesus' name right now. And we loose a spirit of boldness and evangelism over your people. That in every area and every sphere of their life and their influence, they would be used to the max by you to accomplish your will on planet earth. And we believe you for it because of the authority that you have given us in Jesus' name. Do you feel what's happening inside of you right now? Why? Because prayer is powerful. There's a process that takes place. And I'm putting on a show for you. That's real. Like the Holy Spirit, just he as soon as I started praying, because he's passionate about that stuff, all of Hedenvid started going, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's do that. And so I want to heat that up inside of you today. Is that all right? Can I do that? All right, so let me help you understand this process. So Paul says, likewise, the Spirit, everybody says the Spirit. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weakness. For, this will help you, we don't know what to pray for. Anybody ever been there? When I was an intern at this church where I met my wife, big church, we would come in for staff prayer every day. Monday through Thursday. Friday was the day off. So we'd come in for staff prayer at 8 a.m. And I learned to pray really in that atmosphere from the senior pastor of that church, Carl Stevens. I've never seen anyone more committed to prayer than that man ever in my life. And he would call out to God, and I mean, just for a solid half hour, 45 minutes, he'd call out to God. He'd pray for the staff and the families in the church, and he'd do battle in prayer. And I remember we'd all kind of laugh because he'd grit his teeth, man. You could tell when prayer was getting serious because he'd be down there and knelt on, my God and my Lord. You knew he was mad at something that was going on in the church, and he was getting after, my God and my Lord, I pray. And then he'd make sure none of us knew who it was. I pray for set him free, God. But I was young and I was an intern. I was still developing my prayer life, and I'm being honest with you, man. There were sometimes I'd go in there, I'm all fired up. We'd have some Bible reading time, and then they'd turn on the worship music, and we had this prayer room. We'd all start to pray, and I'd pray, man. I'd be like, and I'm praying, and I'm feeling like, oh yeah, this is the best prayer, and I feel like God's moving, and I'm like, okay, I mean, it's time for us to be finished. And I look at my watch, and it's like 8:03. You've been there? And then I'm like, what now? I don't even know what to pray for. And so sometimes I didn't, because I was in this Pentecostal culture where it was acceptable. In fact, it was smiled upon. It looked really spiritual if you would lay down prostrate before the Lord. So you just lay down on you. So I'd lay down on my face, and I found I could look like I was praying, but I could actually get some sleep. Y'all don't do that. So we struggle with what to pray for. Paul says, we don't know what to pray for, so we need some help. But check it out, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which are not spoken. So maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't. If you cultivate this habit of prayer in your life, eventually you will experience this. But I've had this happen to me many times over the years where I'll just, all of a sudden I feel like, man, I need to pray for so-and-so. I don't have a reason. Man, I've had moments where I don't know if something's going on that I can't see, a conversation's taking place, somebody's being divisive or creating conflict or strife, but I've felt like, man, I need to pray for the church right now. Like, I just stop right now. I need to pray. I need to pray for the church. Sometimes it's some of our families here in our church. The Lord will just say, pray for them. Sometimes I've had impressions that made me really uncomfortable, but later I was glad I obeyed. I used to tell this story a lot in our Life Track classes. I remember when I was a youth pastor just across the border here in Maryland in Elkton, my first early years of full-time ministry, and it's the first position I took, and our youth ministry was going through some incredible growth, really because God got a hold of one kid, and his life was so radically transformed that everybody who knew him was like, if he can change, that's got to be God. Like, I got to figure this out. And so we went from 13 to 165 students, and all of them were like kids just giving their hearts to Jesus. We were bussing them in out of trailer parks and apartment complexes. I mean, it was an incredible move of God. And that one kid I actually was pretty close to for a while, and I remember one time that I felt this impression, like, call him right now. You know, ever had God ask you to do something that you're like, I'm not doing that. That's weird. I don't have anything to talk to him about right now. And the Holy Spirit was just like, call him right now and ask him what he's doing. So finally I did. I call him, like, hey, man, what you up to? What you doing right now? He goes, can I call you back? I said, sure. About 10 minutes later, he calls me back. He's like, are you following me? He's like, how'd you know to call me? I was like, I just felt like I was supposed to. I think it was God, maybe not. Are you doing good stuff right now? Are you feeding the homeless? What's going? I don't. I mean, Maybe he just wanted me to give you a high five. He's like, no, you called like I was with a girl. We were about to make a mistake. I was losing control. And my phone rang, and it was you. And I'm kind of freaked out right now. I was like, I'm kind of freaked out right now too, bro. But isn't that cool how much God loves you? He loved you so much that he made me do something weird to save you from something you'll regret for the rest of your life. Isn't that awesome? So we don't always know what to pray, but the more we develop this habit in our lives, the more we'll experience these, I call them impressions or whispers of the Holy Spirit in our life that help us know what we should pray for, what we should do. So these groanings that are not spoken, let's keep reading. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So who is it that searches our hearts? That's Jesus. He searches. So look, Paul actually is giving us all three members of the Trinity plus you in this passage of Scripture. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he, Jesus, is making intercession for us, the saints, according to, here's the other part of the Trinity, the will of God. And if you read the Greek here, that's God the Father. So we see all three members of the Godhead, the Trinity, plus you, taking place in this thing called the process of prayer. So to help you, if you've got the paper version of the notes, there's a big circle there, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at it on the screen. On the app, you probably just have some blanks to fill in. But in the process of prayer, I want you to see what happens. Paul says it starts with this guy over here, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is getting his direction from God the Father. The Holy Spirit knows what passions need to be warmed up and what passions need to be cooled off. And so down here at the 6 o'clock position, that's you and I, the believer, the Christian. And so we're praying, and as we develop this habit in our lives, the Holy Spirit will actually start influencing our prayer so that we know how to pray more effectively, so that our prayers become the will of the Father. See, for many of us, prayer is just a wish list. That's all it's, we don't even really know what prayer is supposed to be. Is that just where I go tell God everything I want and need? Well, he cares about all of those things. He wants you to talk to him about all of those things, but that's not all that prayer is. Prayer is actually a supernatural process that God has designed for you to be a part of so that you can take the screens and just turn them off and back on. See, it's just so much. Can we do that again, guys? I'll just look how the Holy Spirit's like, whoosh. Yeah, come on. See, I've been praying. All right. So now we take the passions of the Holy Spirit. He heats those up in us, and we connect the passion of the Holy Spirit to the power of who? Jesus, the one who came up out of the grave and the one who's searching your heart. And you and I, we're not good enough to go into the Father's presence on our own. We're not perfect. We're not perfected. But thank God we're not seen as we are. We're seen through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. So the Bible teaches us that he is an intercessor on our behalf. So now we pray and Jesus takes those prayers back to who? God the Father. And we become a part of this incredible supernatural process where the perfect will of God the Father is being communicated to the Holy Spirit, who's heating up in us now the right passions for the right things and giving us the right prayers to pray so that we can now go to Jesus in faith, expecting that God will respond to our prayers. And Jesus goes back to his Father and he says, hey, Dad, you're going to be really excited about what they're praying about. You're going to get fired up about this. You're going to want to move. You're going to want to do something. You're going to want to put your hand to work. Because here's the thing. When prayer's happening like it's supposed to, it's not just about us taking our needs to God. See, God, even though he cares about your need, he's not motivated by your need. You know what he's motivated by? Is your faith. And so when we come back to him with a God, I'm in faith, I'm believing you're going to reach my family. In faith, I'm believing you're going to use me in my work faith. In faith, I believe you're going to set people free from addiction and you're going to grow your church and you're going to reach lost people and you're going to restore marriages and you're going to give people a passion for your word and for prayer. And so faith, listen, prayer and faith, they don't change the will of God. They just activate the will of God. Yes, you can get fired up about that. That's worth being excited about. So God, man, he's kind of sitting up there and he's got all this beautiful stuff that he wants to do. And a lot of times he's waiting for us to plug into our place in the process. And so I'm hoping if you see what happens when you become a part of this process is you become actually the linchpin for God accomplishing his will on planet Earth. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? That's fantastic. And I don't even have to be an expert at prayer because it says as I develop this habit, the Holy Spirit's going to tell me what to pray. He's going to help me with it. How cool is it? That hope just takes the pressure off for you right now. Because so many of us are thinking, I don't know how to pray. What do I say? You just start with the problem. Okay, Holy Spirit, talk to me. What's going on in my world right now that I should pray for? He will. He'll start dropping names in your heart. He'll start dropping situations in your heart. And you'll get more hungry, and you'll start getting to the place where you can't live without it. Here's what's happening when we engage in prayer. We're aligning ourselves with God's will and becoming a part of His plan. We're connecting the passion of the Spirit with the power of Jesus. We're activating the will of God, and we're allowing God to work through us. So why do we pray? Why do we need this habit for spiritual health? What happens? And I want you to say this next paragraph with me. We're going to say it a couple times to make sure we get it. All right, this is what happens when we become a part of the process, okay? Through prayer, God's will directs my passions. My heart is purified, and my life becomes a conduit for God's supernatural work. All right, now you ready? I want you to read it with me. Here, let's read it together. Here we go. Through prayer, God's will directs my passions. My heart is purified, and my life becomes a conduit for God's supernatural work. Now, this time I want you to read it like you actually believe it and like it's a process you want to be a part of. Let's go again. Here we go. Ready? Through prayer, God's will directs my passions. My heart is purified, and my life becomes a conduit for God's supernatural work. Come on, how many of you want to be a part of that process? How many would like to experience that in your life? It's incredible. Imagine the power. Imagine the power of God, how incredible His work could be in you if you just plug into your part of the process. Imagine how powerful His church would be, not just True Life Church, His church, capital C, the church globally. Imagine how powerful His church would be if believers all over the world would get fired up and get a little bit hungry about just plugging in to our part of the process. What if we would pray as passionately as we complain? That sting a little? That hurt? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Is that still cool? Can I still say that? That's so 2016. All right. Are you fired? Have I effectively heated some passion up for you in this, on this topic? If not, just fake it. I'll feel better. Okay, so now, we're feeling right. Hopefully, you're this little bit of hunger now. I want to be a part of this process. So where do I put this in my life? I'm busy, Pastor. When there's not 21 days of prayer and I can't come to the church at 6 a.m., like, what do I do? What do I do this? And I want you to see this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Paul's going to help us again. There's a three words I want you to see here as we read this passage. Help me out. Rejoice what? What? Rejoice? Okay. Pray what? Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, here's what I need you to see, okay? A lot of us, we feel this pressure of prayer. Like, I know if I'm a believer, even if you're not a believer, you understand this concept, most of us, of prayer. And it's honestly, it's one of the things that keeps people from moving towards Christianity, because they're kind of freaked out, like, I don't want to have to do that all the time. But here, I want to change your mentality about prayer, because it's so easy for us to fall into this rut, this routine of treating things like religious exercise. And anytime something turns into religion, condemnation's right behind it, right? So some of us feel like we're probably terrible Christians and we're not acceptable to God. Why? Because right now we're preaching about prayer and you don't feel like you pray enough, and the enemy's in your ear going, you don't pray enough, you're a terrible believer, God's not happy with you. That's not true. It's not true at all. In fact, God's not looking for religious exercise or routine from you. He doesn't want to be something on your checklist. Can you imagine how healthy my marriage would be if I treated my marriage like a checklist? If I just got up every morning and grabbed a little whiteboard off of the nightstand, say good morning to wife. Good morning, honey. Check. Tell wife you love her. I love you. Check. Kiss wife. You want to brush my teeth first? Okay, we'll come back to that one. Do you think it would be a healthy relationship if it was treated like a checklist? Of course it wouldn't. It never would work. After being married for 16 years, you want to know what's constantly happening in my marriage? Communication. Even when we're not communicating, we're communicating. You know what I'm saying? How many know, like, your spouse can communicate without saying a word? Like when you walk past some clothing on the floor or something, and she's like, ain't got to say nothing. Because the more you get to know someone, the more natural communication becomes, right? By the way, she doesn't really do that to me. So you're always so that's what God wants with us. It's just relation. You get to the place where there's just natural communication taking place between you and Jesus all the time. In your notes, I want to say it to you this way. It's actually my prayer for you today. That we would make prayer our first response, not our last resort. Make prayer our first response, not our last resort. Because if we're honest, what a lot of us do is we wait till we've made a mess out of it. And then we're like, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Right? With my kids, there's something about, as their father, when they've kind of made a mess out of something, and then they come to me and they're like, Dad, will you help us fix this? Come on, parents, you're kind of like, you could have asked me at the beginning and I would have helped. We could have figured this out together. Now I'm annoyed and you're probably going to cost me money. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Like, but when my kids come to me early on, I love sometimes my daughter, she'll say, Dad, I need to have a daddy chat. This is going on in my life. And here's basically what she's saying to me. She's saying, this isn't a problem yet, but I don't want it to be, so I need your help. I need your wisdom to help me figure this thing out in my life. And man, my heart just is so drawn to that. There's a bond. There's a connection that takes, and your heavenly father is the same way. He's there for the emergencies, but he doesn't want to just be your fire alarm. And some of us, we don't understand that just because we're not getting the answer we want doesn't mean we're not getting an answer. Because he's actually more concerned with giving you his answer, what is right for your life, than giving you what you want. So we just got to communicate with him. Talk to him. Sometimes he's holding off on the answer because he's looking out for you. Like, so many single people in our church, and we see this all the time. And so, like a boy and a girl, they'll meet each other, and then it's just like they're falling in love. Which, you know why it's called falling in love? Because you're completely out of control. And then, so that's what we see. He smells good, and he's so nice to me. And we'll go, does he love Jesus? Well, I don't know. And after 16 years of marriage and over 20 years of ministry, like, I just want to go, how do you not know the answer to that already? You're falling head over heels. And it happens all that we see it all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. People go into relationship completely out of control. They don't consult with God at all until it's a complete train wreck. And then they're calling us. You know what I'm saying? Help us! Jesus! And check it out, he can. He can fix it, he can restore it, he can redeem it, he can take something that was built on the wrong foundation and completely broken and make something beautiful out of it. But it's better for you not to start there. It's better for you to pray first. Come on, everybody say, pray first. And it's not just relationships. This happens in every area of our lives. Like, don't take the bait when you see the new TV that you want to buy and they tell you, oh, you won't have to make a payment for like 6,000 years. No interest. And then someday they come calling, right? And then they're hauling off your TV. And you're mad. You're mad at God. God, why didn't you bless me? Why didn't you give me enough money to pay for that TV? And God's going, why didn't you ask me if I wanted you to buy that TV? So we'd make it our first response. Man, there's so many things that I've said no to in my life that emotionally I was so drawn to, it really felt right, but I didn't get peace from the Holy Spirit. And he saved me from pain because I waited for the peace. By the way, if you're married, you both need the peace. I almost missed the chance to plant True Life Church. I'm way off the... Can I have a few extra minutes? I almost missed the chance to plant True Life Church. Because I knew God wanted us back in full-time ministry, and I was so hungry to get there that I would jump at anything that looked like it. And I took my wife, we flew to a church, got in an airplane and flew to a church and interviewed for a worship leader position. And from the moment we got off the plane, my wife said, I have no peace about this place at all. And I spent 3 days mad at her. I was you're ruining it. You're ruining our chance to get back into full-time ministry. I'm going to have to go back to Florida to a job I hate. I'm miserable. You're messing it up. We went home. We didn't take that job. We did not have the peace. It was just a couple weeks later that we got invited to a conference, this group of people called the Ark, a church planting conference. And we started dreaming about what it would look like to plant a life-giving church in Newark, Delaware. And guess what? We both had the peace. Well, I'm glad I'm here with you and not trying to lead worship somewhere in Mississippi, everybody. Make it our first response, not our last resort. Okay, I got 7 things to give you in 4 minutes and 8 seconds. I hope I've sold you on the why. I hope you're fired up about prayer. I hope you will take some simple steps to make prayer a part of your life continuously. And by the way, I don't expect you to get there right now, but you can start here. Just start with a certain time and a certain place. Just carve out a certain time and a certain place every day. For me, when I was working a secular job, that was my car. I would get in the car, and every morning I made a choice. I'm not going to listen to sports or talk radio or any of that stuff. I'm gonna put on some worship music. I'm gonna listen to some scripture. I'm gonna have a conversation with God. So start with a certain time and a certain place and let it grow into a continual habit. And eventually you'll get there where your first response to everything is, hey Jesus, what do you think? Where are you at on this? And if he doesn't give you an immediate answer, then wait. Don't make the decision until you know, until you have the peace. This is really good. Is this helping you? All right. It's helping me. All right, I'm going to move fast. Luke 11. So I want to help you with the how, okay? I want to give you just 7 really simple steps for how to pray. Because some of us are like, okay, well, what do I do? What do I say? How do I engage with God? So I just want to give you 7 simple steps that come from the Lord's Prayer. And Luke 11, 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying, look, in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, we got to have that. There was something about watching Jesus pray that made his disciples go, hey, that, we want that. And they came to him and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And his response was what you and I know as the Lord's Prayer. Even if you haven't grown up in church, chances are somewhere along the way you've heard somebody recite the Lord's Prayer. Depending on the church background you come from, you may have even been taught that's what we do, is we just recite the Lord's Prayer as a way of praying. And you can certainly do that. That's biblical, it's scriptural. You can recite the Lord's Prayer. It's an effective prayer. But I actually think Jesus was doing more for us than just giving us words to repeat. I think he put a model together for us. I think what he was saying is, here's a model you can follow so that you can always connect into this process of prayer and be a part of fulfilling God's will in your life. Do you want that? Do you want the process? Okay, watch. Matthew 6, 9. Let's read it together. We all know this. Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I have to pause because I've memorized this in like 8 different translations. You never know what the next word is. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In some translations, Jesus amens himself at the end, which I think is hilarious. Amen. I'm Jesus. Amen. I love that. So look, here's what I think Jesus is actually giving us is a model. Okay, so let me move quickly because these are real practical, real simple. I know you'll be able to get these. Here's the first one. Number one, Jesus is saying connect with God relationally. Relationally. What were the first two words of the prayer? Our Father. Not our cosmic disciplinarian and ogre. Our what? Father. He's a good father. He's a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. He's our, it's a relational connection. It's not our boss in heaven. No, no, no. Our Father. He's Father. He's Dad. And I know some of us, that doesn't help because you didn't have great father relationship examples in your life. I didn't either. But can I tell you something? Through cultivating my relationship with him, he's actually taught me how to be a father because he's a perfect father. All the broken stuff in your life from your father or fathers in some of our cases, All the stuff that's broken and dysfunctional and messed up, he's the opposite of all of that. He is perfect. He is a perfect father. You just run to him and he will be the father that you never had and that you've always needed. Just trust me. I know. I am his kid. He's my dad. It's relational. Romans 8:15, you haven't received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We don't go into God. We don't go to God going, I'm so scared. I'm sorry. I messed up. Does he want respect and reverence? Absolutely. I want respect for my kids, but I don't want fear. I can't lead them through fear. Fear is dysfunctional. Love is relational. He's a father. Number two, worship his name. What did Jesus say? Hallowed be your name. Just his name, y'all. Just his name. Just the name of Jesus has the power to make every demon from hell flee out of your life. At the name of Jesus, people are healed. At the name of Jesus, addictions are broken. At the name of Jesus, families are restored. And so we go to him and say, God, I'm thankful just even for your name. There's power in your name. Your name is holy. You are set apart. So Jesus, we worship his name. Proverbs 18:10 says, God's name is a place of what? Protection. The righteous can run there and be safe. That's why when anxiety rises up in your life, you want to know the best weapon you've got? Oh, Jesus. 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 I feel so anxious right now. I feel I'm full of fear, so just Jesus. Jesus, your name over every area of my life. Jesus, Jesus, more Jesus. I can't get enough Jesus. Come on, you see there's power in the name. So we worship his name. Number three, pray his agenda. His agenda first. What did Jesus say? Your kingdom come, your will be done. So we connect with God relationally, we worship his name, then we pray his agenda before we worry about our agenda. It's called the God First Principle. It shows up in Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And when we do that, what happens? He takes care of all the stuff around the fringes. So we start relationally, we worship His name, we pray His agenda first. Number four, declare that you depend on Him for everything. Some of you might think, well, I don't depend on Him for everything. I got this job myself. Well, who gave you the skills and the gifts and the talents to have that job? Well, I got those skills and gifts and talents by going to school. Well, who made sure you could pay for school? My parents. Well, who made sure your parents would be able to pay? He's been looking out for you for generation upon generation upon generation because He knows the beginning from the end. He saw you coming before you were even imagined in your parents' mind. He's been lining things up so that you could have what you need to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in your life. And just in case you don't know this, everything good in your life that you have is not really yours anyway. It's His. My job is just to steward it. And so, man, I want to go back to Him every day and declare my dependence again. I don't depend on me. I don't depend on my schooling, my education. The certificates on the wall don't mean anything. Everything in my life is because of Him. I depend on Him. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2, I look up to the mountains. I love what the psalmist says. He's kind of messing with me. He's like, I look up to the mountains as if something up there is going to help me. Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord who made the mountains, who made the heavens. And there, see, so many times we look to the stuff to fix our problems when we ought to be looking to the one who made all the stuff, everybody. You know what I'm saying? We got to declare our dependence on Him for everything. Number five. I almost skipped it again. I've skipped number five in the first service. Number five, get your heart right with God and people. Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Man, sometimes when our prayers feel like they're hitting a ceiling, and they're not going anywhere, I would encourage you in that moment, okay, God, would you search my heart? Are there any choices I'm making that are separating me from you? Am I outside of your will? Have I stepped outside of your favor? Because listen, this is for somebody. God's love is unconditional. You didn't choose that. He did. But His favor is conditional. You can step out of His favor. You can walk away from the blessing and the favor on your life. You can choose to disobey His way, His word, His will for your life. So we got to get our heart right with Him. And sometimes it means we got to get our heart right with people. I had a conversation not long ago with somebody who honestly just apologized to me for something that was years old. And I honestly felt like I was good. Like I'd made the decision, I'm going to forgive them. I was good. And this person, when he said that, man, it was just like this. The Holy Spirit just revealed, see, you didn't know that stuff was still kind of in your heart, that was all there. There was some toxic stuff. So we got to go to God. We got to get right with Him. We got to get right with people. Number six, engage in spiritual warfare. Oh, come on. So where are my charismatics at right now? I'm talking to you. Engage in spiritual warfare. Because it is a battle, everybody. There is a fight going on. You can't see it, but it is happening. I got good news for you. It's technically already won. The victory's already been had. God already handled it for you. Your perfect Father went to bat on your back. I think of it this way. I think of spiritual warfare this way. When I was a kid, I was about 10, 11 years old, And we had a neighborhood bully. Anybody had the neighborhood bully? So we did. We had a neighborhood bully in our neighborhood. His name was Johnny Mode. He just sounds like a bully, doesn't it? Johnny, I'm sorry if like you're watching online. I don't know where you live now, and I hope you love Jesus, but I'm sorry. I'm telling you, you were mean back then. All right. And I got in a fight with the neighborhood bully, and I lost. I lost bad. He's about 4 years older than me. My eyeball met the curb on the side of the road. And I walked back in the house, dazed, what would eventually be a big old black eye. And my dad and I, we were not close until I was an adult. There was a lot of dysfunction in our home when I was younger and bad. So I never felt close to him, but in this one moment, he gave me one of the pictures of God that I'm actually thankful for. He said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "Johnny Mode." He came up out of that chair. He didn't put his shoes on. You remember the wife beater t-shirts? I'm sorry that that's the word. That's a terrible word. I just don't know how else to describe them. The white tank top ribbed t-shirts. Please don't be mad at me for saying that. I just don't know how else you call them. I grew up in the country, all right? That's what we called them. All right. He had that on and a pair of shorts and didn't put on shoes. Took off out the front door, fastest I ever seen that man move. He's halfway up the block, and he's going, "Johnny Mode! Johnny Mode! Get out here!" And I'm behind him. I'm like, "Oh, Johnny, you're the bully now." I mean, Johnny's dad came out the front door of his house, and he's like, "Calm down, what's happening?" My dad's like, "Get your boy out here." I'm like, "Yeah! Get him, Dad! Get him!" It's the one time I was thankful for his temper. Listen, when we go to God in spiritual warfare, he's our perfect heavenly father. So I just picture him like this, man. We go to him and say, "God, enemy's kind of messing with my family right now. Got some loved ones, got some family, they're not saved, got some family that's making some terrible choices. We're under attack. God, the enemy is messing with me, your kid," and I picture him, my heavenly father, my dad up in heaven being like, "Oh, really? Devil messing with my kid," and he takes off up the street. "Johnny Mode?" Your God's so powerful, he sent Lucifer flying from heaven to hell in the flash of a lightning bolt, everybody. That's how long the fight lasted. A lightning bolt. We engage in spiritual warfare. For our struggle, Ephesians 6:12, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. It's real, y'all. In the heavenly realms. And the Bible says that whatever we bind in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever we loose is heaven and loose on earth. Just like I shared with you at the beginning of the message. You have the authority to do battle in the spirit. Here's the last one. Number 7, express faith in God's ability. Express faith in God's ability. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Not just for a few minutes, not just yesterday, not just on Sunday at church, but when? Forever. Forever. Jeremiah 32:17. "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing." Come on, everybody, say nothing. Nothing. Come on, say nothing. Nothing. "Nothing is too hard for you." Nothing is too hard for you. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet this morning? How many thankful we serve a God that nothing is too hard for? Nothing. In fact, he may have been working on you, because you're not too far from him. It's not too hard for him to reach you. Maybe this whole idea of prayer for you today, it's hard because you've never actually said the first prayer. This idea of having a relationship and communicating with God doesn't make sense to you because you've never said the first prayer. You've never surrendered your life to him. You've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you a chance to do that. Become a part of the family of God. just like a couple people already have this morning in our early service. So I want to ask y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't look around right now. And if you're here today and you say, hey, Michael, I need to say that first prayer. I need to begin a relationship with Jesus. Not going to call you to the front. Not going to embarrass you. Just want to know that you're in the room. Say, hey, Michael, that's me. Would you just wave your hand at me? Say, I need to surrender my life to Jesus today. I need that first prayer. I see it. Anyone else? Just wave at me real quick and put it right back down. Anybody else? Good job. Good job. Anyone else? Awesome. Keep your head bowed and your eye closed. We're going to lead you in a prayer in a second. When we're done, I want you to grab that connection card from the seat in front of you. Give us at least an email address, as much information as you're comfortable with, but at least an email address. And check the box that says, I surrender my life to Jesus today. We want you to drop that in one of the bins in the lobby. We just want to email you some next steps. That's all we're going to do. Not going to hassle you, not going to show up at your house or anything like that. Just want to email you some next steps. Church, I want you to join me as we lead people in this prayer. Those of you who raised your hands just now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Your first prayer to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And our whole church is going to say it with you, not because we need to again, but because it's one of the ways we celebrate you and welcome you into the family of God. You're not joining a church today. You're just joining the family of Jesus. All right? Will you say it with me? Say, dear Jesus, I need you to save me. I need relationship with you. I've been doing life my own way, and I'm done. Today, I surrender to you. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe you died for me, and now your sacrifice covers my sin. And eternal life is now my destiny. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate as heaven grows a little bit this morning, True Life? Love it. It's why we do it. It's why we do what we do. And every week, we see people step into a relationship with Jesus. Okay, your response to the message. I'm sorry I'm running a little bit long. I really am. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. All right. I could pray with you, but that's not what today's about. I need you to pray. I need you to engage in this process. I need you to respond to that hunger that's being stirred up and engage in the process. And don't come at it with any expectations of some marvelous emotional experience. You might have that. You might not. What God is looking for is to cultivate a unique relationship with you. Don't compare yourself to others. Your prayer life's not going to look like mine, and my prayer life doesn't look like Pastor Perry's. And so we don't do that. You start with where you're at right now, and you cultivate the habit, and then you enjoy the fruit that's going to come from having this healthy spiritual habit of prayer in your life. You on board with me this morning? All right. Come on, let's just one last time. We're going to worship one last time, but let's just thank Jesus as though all those prayers are already being received. All those lost people in the fall, as though they're already coming to Jesus. Come on, let's lift him up. Let's give him the best praise we can. Let's worship one last time before we go.